The scriptures have a lot to say about our words, about our tongue, about the power of the tongue. Words like a razor, like a serpent, are used, a fire, a rudder. All of these terms used to try to describe the impact that the tongue can have not only on our life, but also on the lives of those individuals that we have the opportunity to speak to. Through the tongue, of course, we can preach the gospel. Through the tongue, we can comfort and help those who are struggling with sorrows or difficulties, give good advice to people. But the tongue sometimes can be used for very negative things. And so I'd like to begin with a line that I remember using a few times when people said terrible things to me when I was growing up. And kids fight. They say things they shouldn't say, and they say hurtful things, and so we just quote this, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And we use that line, but the real truth is that they did hurt. And a lot of us still remember some of the things that were said to us when we were younger. Insults and terrible slanders and destructions of various relationships that we had based on these terrible things that people have the ability to use. And so we look at some of the verses in Psalms 52. It says, your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor, a worker of deceit. You love all words that devour, O deceitful tongue. Hide me from the secret counsel of evildoers, from the tumult of those who do iniquity, who have sharpened their tongues like a sword. They aimed bitter speech as their arrow. And then they sharpen their tongues as a serpent, poison, the poison of viper, or I think the way the Romans puts it, the poison of asps. But it just means the deadly poison of a serpent is under their lips. Now, these are not exaggerations. And I'm not even sure that they are figures. I think they're a reality. I think that emotionally and intellectually, the tongue can do the very things that an earthquake will do, or that a volcanic eruption will do, or that a war will do. And so he uses terms like destruction, like a sharp razor, and devouring, sharpening their tongue like a sword, and an arrow, and a serpent, and the poison. And so I think what God is trying to help us understand here is that the tongue is a very dangerous thing. And when James picks it up in chapter 3, he's going to carry it just a little bit further, where we'll get to in just a moment. But let's just stop for a minute and let's think about this. If you see a deadly serpent, what's your initial response? Well, of course, our initial response is what Moses did when he threw the staff down and it turned into a serpent. He ran away, because he was afraid, because he recognized the danger, and because he understood viscerally, didn't have to think about it at all, that when you see something like this, the red light goes on, there's some extreme danger here. And so when the Bible talks about our tongue, the words that come from our mouth, with terms like this, we need to realize that the tongue in the eyes of God is a very, very powerful, dangerous tool, and that we need to be aware of that. And no matter what our emotions are, and no matter what circumstances we're in, we need to be careful what comes out of our mouth, because not only do those words come forth and do terrible things, but sometimes, like we sing in our song, angry words lightly spoken, bitter thoughts rashly stirred, and brightest links of life are broken by a single angry word. Now, hopefully, as Christians, and with our love and our forgiveness and our mercy, that would never happen. But it does happen, and the realization is that the next words that I might say could have eternal consequences for someone, or that could create a lifelong hurt, or they could damage a relationship. And so when we think about the tongue, we think about the words that are coming from our mouth, it's just not a communication tool. This is a very, very dangerous tool which is much more far-reaching, I think, than a lot of us would appreciate. And that's why God says, here's a couple of verses I just jotted down this morning, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. So as you think about the way you talk, flippantly, whether we joke a lot, we're sarcastic, we are rude, we are cutting, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. So oftentimes, and I didn't put that verse down in this lesson, we'll deal with it a little later, but Jesus does say, for every idle word that a man will speak, he will give an account on the judgment. And by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. So what's God trying to do? He's trying to help us be afraid. He's trying to help us be concerned. He's trying to help us recognize that there are certain things that the tongue has the ability to do. And we need to be aware of it. And we need to protect ourselves from it. As I say, if there were serpents all around my home, I would go out in the morning, especially if I had young children, and I would see if there were any on the property. And if there were, then I would have to remove them. I would have to get rid of them because they pose a danger. Well, that's really what God is trying to help us understand, that the tongue is a direct link to sin. And in the multitude of words, you will always find sin. Now, that's not my thoughts. These are God's thoughts. This is God's warning to us. And he's also warning us that, say, the next verse, Proverbs 17, he who has knowledge spares his words. And a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. As we think about that verse, and we think about our conversations with people, what we talk about, and how we conduct ourselves with our tongues in our homes, on the job, in our relationships with other people, and God is trying to help us understand something. There are some terrible consequences to not or to speaking too much. So he who has knowledge spares his words. Well, what exactly does that mean? It means the more I learn about the tongue, and the more I learn about the accountability of words, and the more I learn about the power of words to do things that I didn't want done or I didn't anticipate being done, then the more and more controlled I'm going to have to become. The more and more controlled I'm going to have to be with my words. And so verse 28, a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. I suspect that's coming from our God to each one of us, and that is, you better be careful, because if you talk too much, I'm going to see you as a fool, because I've given you this information. And so he who restrains his lips is wise, the fool will open his mouth. Then the last one, whoever guards his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Do you see a man hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Now the interesting thing about the tongue is, whether we're a mature Christian or whether we are just a babe or whether we're not a Christian at all, the tongue just has the ability to say things that we just didn't think carefully about before we said them. And you can do that if you're a mature Christian. You can do that if you're a fool. And so the tongue is always risky. And James is going to tell us again in another lesson, but he's going to say that no man can tame the tongue. He said it is a restless evil. He says every beast has been tamed, but no man can tame the tongue. It just has the ability. Why did I say that? How many times at night, and this is something I would counsel all of us to do, is go over your words. In the evening, go back over some of your conversations and see if there's something that needs to be repented of. It says in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. And therefore, I had better go through my words and sift my words and learn some things about myself by my words. There's certain hot button issues that I really need to leave alone. And I have to learn that, or I'm going to rue it on the judgment day. In James chapter 3, verses 5 to 7, he says this, see how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body, sets on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire by hell. In many ways, this is a very deep, complicated, and in some respects, an incomprehensible scripture. For example, that last statement, that the tongue sets on fire the course of nature, and that it is set on fire by hell. Now, we understand what hell fire is, but I don't understand how the fire of hell can be used by my tongue to set on fire the course of nature. Now, the simplest way to understand this, and I'm not going to go too far into it because I think it's a slide a little bit later, but when the devil used his tongue to set on fire the course, now, the Greek word here literally is the wheel of Genesis. That's the Greek, the wheel of Genesis, and the Greek word is Genesis, which means beginnings. And for some reason, they've decided to use the idea of nature. But literally, this means that the fire that has been brought into the wheel of beginnings is set on fire by hell. Now, if you think about what the devil did, then this verse, at least at that moment, is completely fulfilled. Because what the devil brought into the world, what he brought into the course of nature, and if you want to understand the idea of the wheel of nature, just read Ecclesiastes chapter 1, where he talks about that which has been and that which shall be, and how the rivers run into the sea but they're never full, and how the wind does this and this, and how life just continually, it's like a wheel, it never gets completed. And then he says, that which is lacking cannot be numbered, and that which is crooked cannot be made straight. And so the events that occurred in Genesis chapter 1, which was all from the tongue, it was the tongue of the serpent that lit the fire of lust in the hearts, or in the heart of Eve, leading her to bring all of these terrible things. And that hasn't changed. What the devil did in a global way in Genesis chapter 3, is done on an individual basis. It's what Potiphar's wife tried to do with Joseph. And it's what other individuals have used their tongue to tempt people and to corrupt people and to bring people into terrible circumstances. Some knowingly, it just happened as a consequence. But that's just part of what makes this verse complicated. But I want you to see that how many times he uses the word fire. He begins with a physical illustration. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. Then he says, not the tongue is like a fire. He says the tongue is a fire. And I suspect that by the time we get finished with a complete understanding of the scriptures, we'd have to agree with him. And I'll show you why as this lesson unfolds. It is a world of iniquity. How is it a world of iniquity? There is not a single sin, not a single lawless deed that the tongue cannot initiate, that the tongue is not involved in. You can't plan a sin. You can't entice another person. You can't, there's just certain things you can't do without the use of the tongue. And you say, well, which sin does the tongue not, is the tongue not used in? Well, very, very few. So the tongue is a fire. And the more we read, the more impressive it becomes. It can be a force for good. A tongue can be, I mean, fire is not always destructive. Fire can warm. Fire can warm a heart. It can create love. It can create zeal. It can create good. It has the ability to warm and to strengthen. It does pretty much everything that fire can do. Fire is not always destructive. Fire can also be good. But we need to recognize something. Now, let's talk a little bit about fire. I looked this up on the internet today. This is just a definition of fire. I really couldn't come up with one, so this isn't me. But fire is the visible effect of the process of combustion, a special type of chemical reaction. Well, I couldn't put it any better than that. It's just, you don't, if you try it, what is fire? Well, fire is what? Well, it's a visible effect of combustion. In other words, as something is consumed, as it's being combusted, it creates a fire. It's a process in which one or more substances are changed into different substances. It occurs between oxygen in the air and some sort of fuel. The products from the chemical reaction are completely different from the starting material. So I like that because that's perfect for what the tongue is. And so let's develop that now. How is the tongue like a fire? Well, fire changes unstable things, creating energy. So wood and coal are capable of change through fire. After fire, only ash and smoke remain. And this is a picture of that campfire that occurred in California. And you see what happens after the fire goes through. Well, I think there's a lot of people's hearts that look like that after a fire goes through. And so let's develop that now. Emotions are just like wood and paper. They're very unstable. Love can be turned to hate. Peace can be turned to strife and bitterness. Much easier than we would think. Because as we say in our songbook, the brightest links of life are broken by a single angry word. How can that happen? Years of love and years of respect and years of devotion by a single angry word can be turned into hatred and distrust and vengeance and desire to damage, and I never want to see you again. I never want to be around you again. That's how the tongue is a fire. Because we can become angry and we can say something that will damage and destroy or maybe completely combust love and leave nothing but hatred. It can change all of the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, and a single angry word can do the same thing that a fire does. It's able to sow discord. Let's just get all these up here. So, love can take families. I'm sorry, words can take families and leave them like they're not families anymore. Just absolutely no relationship whatsoever. Everything that took so many years to develop burned up just like that. Angry words are lightly spoken. Bitterest thoughts are rashly stirred. Brightest links of life are broken by a single angry word. Well, how does James put it? A small fire can kindle a whole forest. And a single angry word can destroy a whole family. And you say, well, how can that happen? Because emotions are like wood and paper. They're not stable. Emotions are not stable. They can be affected. And the tongue has the ability to affect them either in a good way or in a bad way. And we need to recognize that and we need to treat it. You know, we tell our children, don't play with matches. Well, why? The little match isn't dangerous. Well, it could burn a finger or something. But we all understand how unstable most of the materials in our home are. And that it can very quickly change from one into another with a tremendous force that we call fire. And so when you take a match and you put it into a dry tree that has sap in it, and it just roars up, that's the description that God is making here that can happen on the inside of our heart. And there's almost no way to fix it. Now, here's a single passage in Proverbs. I broke it up into two. But like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. As charcoal is to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body. Now, this is a commentary on James's words. James said the tongue is not like a fire. The tongue is a fire. The tongue can do the same thing to emotion that the fire can do to wood or paper. When you take that match and you touch it to the paper, it's going to combust. When you take a statement of strife, a statement of gossip, a statement of that damages the reputation of someone, God said, the talebearer creates strife. The contentious man kindles strife. Those are not figures. There's a spiritual reality here. Just like Satan, through his words, was able to kindle in the heart of Eve everything necessary to bring about her death. You say, how could he do that? He did it with the tongue. He was deceitful. What did Jesus say? He was a liar. He was a murderer. How did he murder? With his words. He never touched her. All he did was get her to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because he knew if she ate it, she would die. And his tongue set it up. His tongue put the thoughts in her mind that were not there before. Just like an adulterer might put the thoughts of evil into the heart of a woman that were never there before. That's what the tongue can do. And so in this case, what God is trying to help us understand is that our tongue is very dangerous. And so are the tongues of the people we listen to. And so verse 18 is the madman who is throwing firebrands and arrows and death is a man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. So now even the cruel jokes that we make, even those jokes that create hurt and heartache and sorrow, God says, you know, when you do that, you're like a madman throwing firebrands, arrows, and death, and you have no idea. No idea what the consequences of that might be. And so we have to think carefully. Just like we don't take matches and just throw them out the window when we're driving through the forest, because we all understand what can happen with the smallest flame if it touches into something that's kindled, that can be kindled, that can be combusted. And the same thing is true with our words. We don't know. You know, from time to time we read about these people who are driving and they yell at someone, and the next thing you know, the person's pulled a gun and shot them. Well, how did that happen? Well, the person was unstable. Person was combustible. Those words were just enough to lead that person to do something they never would have done and probably will regret the rest of their life as they sit in the jail, thinking about somebody they killed for no other reason but a little bit of frustration over driving. And yet, how often do we see it? Because the tension and the attitudes that people have, they're just wound up. And again, it's just like when California said, look, we've had 4 or 5 years of drought, and the forests are just ready to explode. And they weren't kidding. And it took so little to cause tremendous damage. Well, verse 20, where there is no wood, the fire goes out. Where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. As charcoal to the burning coals of wood and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Now, what is a contentious man? Well, it's just somebody who's a little irritable and says something that is a little rough, a little rude, a little frustrating. And if the person who is those words are spoken to is very stable at the moment, then nothing happens. Except the one man sinned and needs to repent, but nothing blows up. But if you're not under the right set of circumstances, then these kind of things can happen. And so God tells us death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Well, which is it, Lord? Is it the death? Is that the fruit I'm going to eat? Or is it the life? Well, it depends on what I love. It depends on what I use my tongue for. If I use my tongue for life, I use my tongue to build up. I use my tongue for love. I use my tongue for that which is good. I warm people with it. I strengthen people with it. I give people light with it. If I love life, then the power of the tongue will be used for life, and I will eat the fruit of life. But death is also in the power of the tongue. And if I love death, in other words, I don't, what does it say? In a multitude of words, sin is not lacking. He was wise refrains. In other words, we carefully think before we say our next words. And we've all been guilty of being irritated and frustrated and being tempted to say things we shouldn't say, and we know we shouldn't say them, but if we're angry enough, they come out anyway. But we need to realize that as far as God is concerned, whether these terrible consequences occur or not, as far as God is concerned, that's it. That's to our account. You just did something like what the devil did. And the only reason it didn't end up like what happened with Eve is because the person you happened to say it to was strong enough, but your words could have done that, and therefore you're responsible for those words. You know, it's like the guy who gets out his gun and shoots it into a crowd and says, "Well, I didn't hurt anybody." Yeah, but when you go before the judge is going to say, "But you could have," and you're going to be held responsible. And the same thing is true in the way that God is dealing with it. So when we talk about, I'm going to just throw all this up for you to think about, all the woe in the world today is because of the tongue of the serpent. I mean, there's just no getting around that. There's no getting around the fact that it was the words of the serpent, "You shall not surely die. God knows you will become like him." And therefore, when Eve looked at this fruit from this new perspective, the perspective that the tongue of the serpent had given to her, which she had never thought of before. And it says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that the woman was fully deceived. When she reached for the fruit, she was fully deceived. Well, how was she fully deceived? Because of the tongue of the serpent. So, is the tongue a razor? Is the tongue a fire? Is the tongue an arrow? Is the tongue like a madman throwing firebrands and arrows and death? Absolutely. We can see it all right there. Satan used it to create the fire of lust and the fire of deception that led to the murder of Adam and Eve and the destruction of our home in Eden. Now, that is a fact. That is a classic fact of what the tongue has the ability to do. And so when Jesus says, "You are of your father, the devil, and it is his will you want to do," he was a murderer from the beginning. What was he condemning? He was condemning. They hadn't murdered anybody yet, but they were talking murder. They were planning murder. They had already made their decisions, and they were using their tongue to undermine everything that the Lord was doing. And so they were of their father, the devil. And so when we are using our tongue, we are manifesting our parentage. Whether we are truly a son of God or a daughter of God, or whether we are actually just following the devil. People deceive, they tempt, they seduce, they provoke. Through the tongue, they sow discord. They preach error, they lose people's souls, they seduce people from a good path. They use the tongue in the schools today to train the children and to teach the children things that are completely wrong. Now, these fires will smolder in the emotions, and they slowly eat away. That's what's happening with our faith in God and our desire to do what is right. It's just being slowly eaten away by the words of different individuals. And so when we think about these things and we look at the use of the tongue and how we use our tongue, God, by your word you'll be justified, by your word you'll be condemned. There's a lot of scriptures regarding the use of the tongue. The purpose of this first lesson is just to get us thinking in the right direction, just to get us understanding the importance, the danger, the risks. The next time we get ready to say something, hopefully we can think a little bit before we say it, and we can realize the far-reaching consequences that these words might actually have, and the realization that the consequences may be far more severe than we had any idea. As I say, every day almost, somewhere in this country, somebody's losing their life or they're losing the life of one of the other people in the car because through their words, they combusted something. They had no idea that it was going to go that far. And it's better not to talk at all. And so as we pick up our song of encouragement this morning, we turn over to number 431, and we ask ourselves, as we've listened to this lesson, do I need to change anything? Is there somebody here I need to apologize for something I said recently? Is there a family member that I need to apologize to? Do I need to go before God and ask God for forgiveness and realize that even those mutterings in the car where nobody's listening, God is still writing them down. They are still words coming out of our mouth and they are manifesting either a turn the other cheek, go the second mile demeanor, or they're manifesting a contentious, angry, bitter demeanor. And we need to recognize it. And I realize that many of us struggle with these things, but we need to recognize how dangerous they are. And so as we sing the song of encouragement this evening or this morning, if there's anyone in the audience who feels a need to come forward and confess a sin, or maybe even though nothing's been said today, you're ready to be baptized into Christ and become a Christian, we invite you to come while we together stand and sing.